let your feelings roll on by. And don't wear fear, or nobody will know you're there. You're there, you're there, you're there.
Good morning to you all. Greetings from Tehran. You are listening to Iran Radio. I am Asma, your presenter for the next hour. We start off this hour's program with The Keys of Life. The program aims to introduce an Islamic lifestyle based on the book Mafatih al-Hayat, written by Ayatollah Jabudi Amoli. After that, we have Economic Divide. If you're interested in economic or business issues, then this program is for you. The program covers the biggest business and economic stories of the day. And our final program this hour is The Gate of Knowledge. The program explains and illustrates the profound moral, ethical, spiritual, and social teachings in Nahjul Balagha.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ali baytihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin. Brothers, sisters, listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Mafatih al-Hayat, Keys of Life. I am your host, Abdullah al-Musawi. Now, previously we started discussing the social system, and specifically we were discussing fixing between relationships, between two people, brothers, sisters, when we get into quarrels and fights and what have you. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam, and more importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, has emphasized so much on us to avoid fitna sedation, to avoid division when it comes to our faith and to come to our society. And it's considered really important in terms of akhlaq, in terms of fighting this division, and it has so many positive effects when we stand again this fighting and just separating from one another, which sadly we see in our community. And the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, they want people to become nice and kind to each other, because society cannot coexist on hatred and fighting and just negativity, which sadly we are immersing ourselves and we're drowning in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, one day he was saying to his companions, ألا أخبركم بأفضل من درجة الصيام والصدقة والصلاة. Should I not tell you about something that is much better in terms of reward than salah, charity, prayer, and fasting? قال بلى يا رسول الله. Of course, we would love to know what's more rewarding than these three. He says, صلاح ذات البين, fixing between two people. people. وَفَسَالُ ذَاتُ الْبَيْنِ, and also breaking to people. So you make good to people, you get the best. You do the opposite, you make the worst. So we need to fix, not divide, because sometimes instead of us helping two people come together, we break people together. I go to him and I say, oh, by the way, did you hear Fulan what he said about you? He said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, really? Then this person goes and he fights with the other one, and then we have a problem. We have a fallout. This lady comes and she says, oh, by the way, have you heard what she said about you? And she said, no. And she tells her. And then we have this gossip issue, backbiting issue, sedation. And then we again have to see that this society breaks down. Why? Because I could not control my tongue. Or he could not control her tongue. She could not control her tongue. And we end up breaking relationships. Brothers, sisters, be mindful on day of judgment. There is no way to fix that once it's done. The hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continues and he says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. Therefore, be aware, be mindful of Allah, O people. وَاصْلُحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Fix your issues. Don't come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with either you having issue with other people or you divided other people. That's going to be a problem on the day of judgment. Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayhi says, "Inna shaitan yughri bayn al-mu'minin." Shaitan, he comes and he tries to, you know, create this division between people. He's trying to give you incentives to even break up. Oh, how could he do this to you? You don't need him. You're better off. He's causing this to you. He's causing that to you. And then he puts all these ideas and whispers in your head, and then you end up having a fallout with your brother in faith. فَرَحِمَ اللَّهُ إِمْرِئٍ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَ وَلَيَّنَ لَيْنَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on he who makes things easy for people and brings people together. يَا مَعْشَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَآلَفُ وَتَعَاطَفُ. All believers, have mercy on each other and be kind and compassionate to one another. Let us take a short break and then we will continue right after.
Ayatollah Javadi Omoli, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you. Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Mafatihul Hayat. So we said that the emphasis is on fixing, not dividing and breaking. Now, there are a lot of people in society that we have. They follow the steps of shaitan, and shaitan keeps pushing them towards misguidance. And these people, when they get misguided, they try to create all sorts of fitna, sedation, and facade, corruption in society with their actions, with their tongue. And they love to see people divided. We have a lot of these people. They just love to see people in disarray and divided and broken up. They just can't see a family happy. They just can't see two brothers having a beautiful relationship. They just can't see it. They just have this sickness in their heart. Allah says, "Fi qulubihim marad." They have a disease, a sickness in their hearts. Those people have been warned by Allah that they're going to face severe punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 210, هَلْ يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَالٍ مِنَ الْغَمَامِ. They just have to wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings dark clouds upon them. Now, the problem with these people, they might keep saying, well, you know what, we don't want to create fitna, we do not create any sedation and problem society. But the reality is something else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is really dangerous, not only these people are going to get punished in this world and the hereafter, but in this world when they get punished, a lot of people will get punished as a result. So for example, when Allah talks about ghamam, darkness of clouds with punishment, carrying punishment. Now, I might be an innocent person living amongst these evildoers. I'm going to suffer as well. Yeah, obviously on the day of judgment, Allah will compensate. But I'm going to lose as well. So these people, not only they are destructive to themselves, but they are destructive to society itself. They try to open the gates of hell to society. They want to destroy society. Now, obviously, this used to happen back in the day. I mean, alhamdulillah, now it's a lot less. Back in the day, people used to come and throw accusation at a woman, for example, and she ended up being killed because they called honor killing. Marriages end up in divorces. Spouses end up separating. Children themselves, they end up having a fallout with their parents. Cousins and families and relationships and friends are in disarray. Why? Because someone is just sick in the heart. And now with the social media, it's happening even more. Because now it's really easy to send a picture or a video of someone to someone else and accuse them of a number of things. Or it's much easier to talk online now and blather and just gossip all day long. We need to be very careful of these people. If you know someone that has that kind of trait, which he just loves to divide people, or comes in front of you and speak about other people in a bad way, it doesn't matter whether these people actually done what he says or not done what they say. These people you need to be careful of. You need to stay away from. Well, obviously, first try to do Amar Ma'ruf and Nahy Munkar. Try to slap him around and put some sense into him. Obviously, you know, don't take my word literally, unless it needs to be literal. But try to advise them that what they're doing is wrong. If they don't listen, keep in mind, those same people one day will harm you. If you don't stand up for justice, one day you will be left alone and justice will not be there to help you. So be sure you keep yourself away from those evildoers who just wants to create fitna and fasad in the community. Inshallah, we will continue this in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams, hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind, a momentary emotion, space spent in time.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Economic divide.
There are certain groupings of countries that share common interests with respect to each other's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Once their trading interests converge and each makes equal gains, their economies thrive. No unipolarity, just multilateralism at its best, as outlined in the WTO. That is what the SCO is all about. The SCO Summit was a very successful gathering of a grouping of countries that share common interests, many aligning themselves due to the aggressive and harsh trade and tariff policies of the U.S. With China leading the way, many countries are lining up to join this organization, one in which Iran is also a member of. Coming up in today's program, the SCO Summit 2025, New World Emerges. China presented the Global Governance Initiative. This was an extension and upgrade of previous SCO charter initiatives. But the presence of world powers like India, China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea gave it a new world order makeover. SCO expansion, new members. The scope of the SCO has now expanded to include potential new members with foreign leaders and the heads of 10 international organizations. Also coming up, China, Russia, Iran, and India's alliance. The alliance of these countries is significant since many have been targeted by the U.S. India, for example, has been one of the targets, slapped with 50% tariffs by the U.S. Our guests for this edition of the program include Dr. Mi Zhu, professor at the Gwangju Institute of the Greater Bay Area, and also Dr. Renato Penelope, professor of international trade at the University of Worcester.
For having me for this show. The SCO is a kind of important platform for all the related stakeholders to discuss about how can we deal with the different situation. I think the United States is also having its own ideas about what is the proper way and what is the fair way, but they are just trying to put it at the top of this governance, and that is not so friendly to all the members. So I think that SCO is providing all the members are a fair and open platform for them to discuss what we can do to improve our mutual benefits based on the respect. This governance, our platforms are providing so many new opportunities. I think these opportunities are really attracting the members who want to follow the rules of the market. So I would say that the platform may be not so perfect at the beginning, but it has already started our new space for all the related stakeholders to discuss about what they really want from each other and what they can provide for each other. SCO is a very huge part of the world. They have a lot of population and resources, and also are quite diversified potentials of the market. So I think these platforms are really creating our collaborative ways of dealing with the poverty reduction and also respect the innovation. And these platforms are also trying to teach the other parts, the rest of the world, that how the South-South Corporation can really benefit all the related stakeholders. And this platform is never just be a static one. They are improving and they are trying to welcome any suggestions from the different parts. If other countries or members who want to join this, I think that is welcome, and we will like to try to follow the way, the main ideas of the Shanghai spirit, and also trying to do better in creating more room for more resilient collaboration in the such a, you know, when we're facing such a big challenges coming from the protectionism and the unilateralism.
The SCO Tianjin Summit 2025 was the 25th Heads of State Council meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which was held from August 31st to September 1st of 2025 in Tianjin, China. It was the largest summit in SCO's history and was the fifth time that China hosted the meeting. The SCO aims to promote regional peace, stability, and prosperity through cooperation between its member states. Some international observers have noted, however, that the organization also serves as a forum for Russia and China to consolidate regional influence and to counterbalance Western institutions.
SCO has many similarities, like the BRICS. All the members are developing economies and they are coming from the global south. But there are also some special areas, like the SCO. They started from the security cooperation, trying to stop some of the isolationism and also something to do with the security concerns. So they are coming from a very emergent demand for collaboration and trying to stop the cross-border crimes. For the BRICS, I think that the main ideas are coming from the economic cooperation. So the five important members are trying to do more things, like to use their market advantages to cooperate with each other. For SCO, all the members are having different sizes, and I think that the collaboration in the SCO is much more diversified. So they are not only limited on the market integration, but also trying to improve the infrastructure connectivities. And also, as you mentioned, the financial innovation that is has been improved, be very successful and efficient in the Belt and Road Initiative practices. SCO is quite an interesting, important groups of the countries, and they are trying to identify what they really want to have. As we can find from the Tianjin Summit, that all the members agreed that we can carry on more collaboration in the different dimensions, like from the economic to the cultures, and also something to do with the medical cares. I mean, this kind of a very varied areas of collaboration can further improve the mutual understanding of each other. And this one is really helping for us to reduce the gaps between these countries, instead of just making it wider. So this is a really important thing for us to, if we want to be better fitted for the globalization and the digitalization, because all these kind of new governance issues are related to much stronger capacities that we can use the resources as more efficient than before. That is quite critical.
The social media post for this week. First, Western mainstream media keeps telling us that Russia is some isolated pariah, completely cut off from the world. But then I see this video from the SCO 2025 summit in Tianjin, China, where leaders were practically lining up to shake Putin's hand. Next, China proposed the creation of a new global governance at the SCO summit that is not based on bullying. The initiative is supported by Iran and Russia. Next, Iran's president at the SCO summit, without finding a right solution to the Palestinian issue, no plan for peace and justice in the world will succeed. What is happening today in Gaza is undoubtedly a stain of shame on human history and a test for all humans and governments witnessing these brutal crimes. Then the leaders of the multipolar world mash together as they look forward to building a strong new world order during the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, or the SCO Summit.
Hi, thank you very much for having me here. So the Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit was successful in the sense of showing the world a new center, a new organization where the different nations can cooperate together and build a future. We are living a time of multipolarity, so the world needs different poles, like different centers. Centers as BRICS has been serving as. But now we find like another center being developed here in the Asia, where Central Asia, East Asia, and other parts of Asia are coming together to build a future for themselves, finding market, finding a way to cooperate and build future for their economies. So I think like that can change the approach of the United States when they see traditional partners as India moving away and finding centers, finding communities where they can take part and develop a new market, a new source of income or like exchange. We are seeing the bear, the elephant, and the dragon building a new world. A new world order is rising in this sense. A new world order where the economy find a different path.
With wars raging, rising economic uncertainty, and the fading dominance of the West, China appears to be positioning itself as the new architect of the global order, along with its partners like Iran, India, and Russia.
SCO finds a different way to cooperate once we are dealing specifically with Asia, with neighbor countries. Countries that find borders as a connection, so they can take straight measures to cooperate among themselves, especially when it comes to energy. Energy is a source of development. Without energy, you cannot give like leaps for development as in different types of industry, especially in the industry of the four type of industrial revolution that we are living as AI can propose, or the new high quality economical development demands like a high intense use of energy. So this country is finding cooperation in the sense they can exchange and share the source of economy and share the source of energy in a way that they can boost their economy. China is finding here a perspective very similar to what Belt and Road Initiative has been invested, like BRICS has been invested, like energy, renewable energy. Those are sorts of energy that we want to see flowing and growing because they open different types of market. They have a different nature and environmental like industry that they promote and they develop. So I see SCO growing in a new sense, in a very contemporary and modern way, a way that the world is searching for. And AI will be playing an important role for sure.
This is the InfoNews section of the program. First, Google's contract with the Israeli regime. Google's $45 million contract with Netanyahu's office to spread Israeli propaganda. Now, the contract describes Google as a key entity supporting the prime minister's messaging. Israel's advertising bureau has since embarked on a mass advertising effort to conceal the hunger crisis that's happening in the Gaza Strip. Next, why Russia does not need Nord Stream. Before the war, Russia exported 200 BCM per year of gas to Europe. The new Power of Siberia 2 pipeline will ship 50 BCM per year of gas to China. Based on our special investigation, in 2023, Moscow and Tehran signed a deal for 110 BCM per year of Russian gas transfers through Iran. That is equal to the combined Nord Stream capacity. Iran will function as a regional hub, moving Russian gas to neighbors and global markets. Next, Canada's economy not doing well. The Canadian unemployment has jumped to 7.1% as tariffs weigh on the economy. Persistent uncertainty around U.S. trade policy has kept Canadian businesses on tenterhooks, discouraging hiring. Then, the U.S. economy. Second week, jobs report undercuts Trump's claim of a booming economy. After a bad employment rate in August, President Trump fired the official in charge of the numbers. This month's data was just as disappointing. The labor market is stalling, and the U.S. is facing real strains under the weight of his economic agenda. This is the in-depth section of the program. At a time when much of the world is grappling with the chaos unleashed by Trump's tariffs and threats, the SCO has served as a platform for countries like China, Russia, India, and Iran to project the stabilizing force. The Shanghai Cooperation Organization, better known as SCO, is an intergovernmental organization founded in the year 2001. It is the largest regional organization in the world, mainly because of two factors: geographical area covered and the population. Its member countries occupy almost 60% of Europe and Asia and cover 40% of the world's population. The SCO aims to promote regional cooperation on issues like security, economy, trade, and cultural exchanges among its member states. As of July 2023, there are 9 full members of the SCO: China, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Russia, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, India, Pakistan, and Iran.
It is true that every country or even the individuals who they want to have a sustainable development, they have to pay what they have borrowed from others. Especially for our country, I think it's so important for us to make it more resilient and the value of our credit stable. Well, for the United States, they are having too much public debt from not only from its domestic holders, but from all around the world. The debt issue is a kind of a very important, things for the investors to evaluate the potentials of investing in the United States. So I would say that the U.S. debt, the treasuries are still very important kind of treasuries that investors who are trying to make a basket of portfolios in investing in the United States. But these things can not only trying to be sent to the follower, taker of these investors. So the keep the debt stable and repayable is one of the critical requirements for the whole process. So I think that the U.S. They are trying to borrow as much money as they can borrow from the international market, without enough care about the results, because many of the treasuries are to be paid in a little bit longer term coming from nowadays. So this has made many investors worry about its potential risk. So when they are going to meet their demand from the vertical size to virtual size to the real economy, they are going to think about these issues. And China is one of the important lenders of this money to the U.S. I don't think that we want to have a lose-lose situation. For both of us, we are still trying to keep it stable and trying to make the all the investment in the proper values in the foreseeable future. So I think that is not cannot be done by just one country. We have to have the promises and also some of these real actions from the U.S. side to keep these things recycled and become profitable for both of us and the rest of the world.
Trade between China and the other member states of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization totaled $890 billion for the year 2024. The combined economic output has surpassed $30 trillion. At the Tianjin SCO Summit, Xi Jinping unveiled the Global Governance Initiative, a bold plan to reshape how the world is run. It consists of five core concepts: sovereign equality, international rule of law, multilateralism, people-centered approach, and real results. Although not explicitly stated in the SCO Charter, the SCO's implied goal is to counterbalance U.S. and the EU influence, especially in world politics. This was on display from the warm affection between India, Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and the Russian president. The U.S. had slapped deep tariffs on India, warning and threatening India not to buy Russian oil.
The fact that China has sold like most of its dollar reserves during like February 2023 to now, it's a matter of the request that most of the southern, like the south-south countries are being requesting. We need a reform in the financial system, and the world needs to change its financial ways. We understand that we know the dollar has been used in a way as a tool of war, a weapon, and a way to weaken it is to step away, is to get rid of it. So every time a nation sees it threatened or want to exchange and give a step away from the risk of being suffering from this, the use of this weapon, they try to get rid of this. So China is maturing its economy. Its economy is growing in the sense that it doesn't depend much on dollar anymore. More than 150 countries in the world are dealing and making business straight to China. So China is finding new ways to make exchange with those countries without using dollar, bypassing dollar. And it's natural that the dollar will start to slowly losing its role and the center of the geopolitical order. So it's a natural position. It's probably something that we're going to see more and more often among nations that want to increase their like exchange in the economy with the world, but doesn't want to take the risk of any sanctions or any retaliation from the United States.
Lost in your own ignorance. the gate of knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of an introduction to Nahjul Balagha. We are currently going through a few of the sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and we have reached the saying number 333. And in that saying, or in that wisdom, Imam Ali alayhi salam explains about the qualities of a believer. And in the previous session, we discussed about this quality of a believer, which is ba'idun hammuhu, that a believer's aims and objectives are lofty, and he goes towards the far-reaching, aims, and not the very near ones. He struggles towards those ones. And we, of course, explained this to a certain degree. We explain this to a certain degree. Inshallah, we shall go ahead with the next phrase, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Kathirun somtuhu," that a believer has a lot of silence, like stays silent for a good period of time.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, one of the very important qualities of a believer is how he controls his speech. Samt basically means to be silent. Of course, it should be clear that silence here refers to being silent when it is not necessary or recommended to speak. So sometimes it is necessary to speak. For example, on the issue of Palestine, on the issue of Gaza, people are dying. You can't say, "I'm a believer and it is better for me to stay silent." Silence is good. A believer is kathirun samtuhu. He stays silent for long periods of time, and therefore I'm silent. Absolutely not. This is not the silence that is being spoken about here. Or it is nice to speak to your family. It is mustahab to speak to your family, to your children. You say, "No, I'm a believer," and you become holier than thou, and you don't speak to any of them. Poor fellows, they need you to, interact with them, to be happy with them, to speak with them. And you wear the garb of this piety that you so to speak, have created in your mind, and do not speak to them in the hope that you are going to achieve the quality of silence for a believer. This is also not correct. What is recommended here by Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, when you compare to other narrations, is that a believer is silent when it is not necessary or required for him to speak. There are people who, unfortunately, who don't to speak without knowledge, without understanding, and sometimes they speak only for the sake of speaking, and they don't have any aim beyond the speech itself. And sometimes this leads to vain talk, it leads to sometimes even haram and unlawful speech and many other problems. But in general, a believer tries to avoid speaking, unnecessary speech. And therefore, generally their state would be that they would be silenced for longer periods of time because they would avoid all the unnecessary speech. So generally you would see that a believer would be silent. But when it is time to speak, of course, when it is recommended to speak, they would. And this is the general state of a believer.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, the discussion of silence is a deeper discussion. I've just, pointed out to a very, you can say, in a very summary way, what it means to be silent. But of course, this is a discussion in itself in Islamic morality, and those who are interested can refer to those books. But what is important here is I would just like to draw your attention towards the benefits of having silence. And that the benefits of this is such that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose birth we just celebrated, in one of the narrations which is called Hadith Mi'raj, the narration where when he had gone to Mi'raj, he had communicated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one of those communications, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, Ya Ahmad, O Ahmad, لو ذقت حلاوة الجوع والصمت والخلوة وما ورثوا منها. O Ahmad, I wish you to taste the sweetness of hunger, of silence, and of seclusion, and what is inherited from these three things. So one of the things that Allah is encouraging the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and telling him and encouraging him to perform is to be silent. And he's saying there is a lot of sweetness in this silence and what results from silence. So these are some of the things that are there encouraged in Islam. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he helps us to act in accordance to these statements. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.
Good morning to all our listeners. Greetings from Tehran. You're listening to Iran Radio. I'm so honored and happy to be your host for the next hour. We start off this hour's program with Round the World with reporters. Reporters from all around the globe tell us what is happening in their corner of the world. Listen to fascinating reports from distant lands. After that, we have literary speech. In this program, we air a selection of statements and speeches by the leader of the Islamic Revolution translated into English. Spotlight is our final program this hour. The program covers the most important events happening in the world today with roundtable analysis and discussion.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Britain's far right on the march again in their biggest show of strength yet. Led by a man who made his name scapegoating migrants and Muslims and spreading conspiracy theories. Simultaneously, a counter-demonstration organized by rights groups and unions against what they call racism and the rise of fascism.
Everyone should have free speech, but there's a defined line between free speech and hate speech, and some of the things he says is hate speech. So we have the freedom of speech to speak up and speak out about what's right and what's wrong.
I think it's a very cheap shot to point your finger at asylum seekers, people who are fleeing war-torn countries, wars that are created by the West. And, you know, I think it's we've got to show people like Tommy Robinson, who I hear is funded by Israel. You know, we have to show him what's what.
At the heart of the far-right's rhetoric, immigration. They blame immigrants, especially non-Europeans, as the reason behind their economic woes. The counter-demonstrators here say the reasons should be sought elsewhere.
It's just a smokescreen. People need to wake up and realize that these people, these refugees who have come to seek solace in our country, are not the problem. They are not the problem. Look closer to home. Your government is your problem.
But that goes back to many, many years of austerity measures by the Tory government. I'm not hiding the fact that there's a lot of problems in this country in terms of like the economy. Everything's been crashed, but it's not the refugees and the migrants that are to blame, but actually the politicians and their hypocrisy and their lies and their mismanagement of this country.
For 14 years, conservative governments imposed economic austerity while whipping up anti-migrant hysteria to distract from the damage. Under Labour, the promised change is yet to come.
They're angry with, and I understand some of the reasons they're angry, but I think they're blaming the wrong people. And yes, you have the right to free speech, but I think it should be based in fact. And a lot of their free speech that they claim isn't factual, and it's done to whip up anger, more anger for their own means.
Also tapping into that anger, right-wing Reform UK, led by wealthy politician Nigel Farage, whose party is rising sharply in the polls, with tackling migration top of his agenda if elected in the next general election.
At the heart of the problem, the demonstrators here say inequality, the failure of successive governments to look after the vulnerable, and the political system that fuels division rather than solving problems. Saipur is up, London.
On Monday, September 9, Ethiopia officially inaugurated the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, Africa's largest hydropower project on the Blue Nile. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed hailed the moment as a historic achievement for his country and the wider region. But as Addis Ababa celebrated, the spotlight quickly shifted downstream to Sudan, where questions about water security and the dam's impact on daily life remain unresolved.
The GERD is a strategic project for Ethiopia to meet its electricity needs. Egypt and Sudan fear possible risks, but in my visits, I have seen that for Sudan, the benefits outweigh the harm. It curbs floods, provides electricity, and engineers have assured its safety.
For Sudan, GERD offers both potential benefits and risks. Experts say it could help regulate destructive floods and provide more stable flows for irrigation and power. Yet Khartoum fears sudden releases, shortages during dry season.